Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Bottom of the hour, we'll talk to Jim Roop from CNN Radio Los Angeles. Tim Roddy returns to show off in the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Top 5, Dennis Pitzenbarger. We'll talk more about Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, April 19th. Thursday, April 19th. Be listening for that. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from New York City. CNN Radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm rolling, brother. What's up in the city that never sleeps? How are things?
Well, everybody, you know, is focused on the big story of the day. No, we're not talking about the indictment of the three police officers in the shooting death of an unarmed man several months ago. We're talking about Naomi Campbell.
That's what makes
working at a sanitation department depot.
That is what makes this country great, Steve Kastenbaum.
Our focus is
on the issues that matter. Now, this is like the 15th time she's been convicted of beating somebody with a phone, isn't it? Isn't the phone kind of her go-to weapon of choice?
It seems to be. This time she supposedly threw a cell phone at a maid because she was upset over a pair of missing jeans.
It is. I mean, it was pretty. You got to almost be impressed, though. It's a pretty good aim from across the room to be able to bean somebody in the head with a cell phone. That's not bad.
She's gotten accomplished at throwing the cell phone. Yes,
it's true. And so, is this like the George Michael? I keep saying George Michael, maybe because it's just a matter of time. Is this like the Boy George thing, where it's like, in other words, is she getting treated with kid gloves, or is she really out there like having to like pick garbage up in a disgusting place?
Well, here's the thing. I'm actually standing outside the sanitation depot where she's working right now.
Fantastic.
And Boy George, when he was doing this, he went out in the streets and was cleaning garbage from parks and various areas in lower Manhattan. Naomi Campbell is actually working inside this sanitation depot, and there are members of the police that service the sanitation department actually protecting the entrances here.
Oh, that's
so
not
that
fair.
Folks don't get in. Well, apparently that's because she's had some problems with stalkers in the past.
Oh, please. I think anybody who's convicted for assault loses their right to complain about people getting near them. You know what I mean? Have you decided?
I don't know if you saw the photographs of how she appeared for work here yesterday, but today was equally impressive. Today she showed up in a different pair of stiletto heels, but this time she was wearing some sort of fur coat. I'm not sure if it was real fur or fake fur, but of course, you know, a fur coat, a very inappropriate attire for a sanitation department depot.
Now, that just fills me with rage. Just the idea that she would show up to pick up trash in stiletto heels and a fur coat, it makes me wish for horrible things to happen to her. Like, you hear these stories occasionally about somebody who will fall into a pit of open sewage. God forbid, Steve Kastenbaum, that something like that happened to Naomi Campbell. I mean,
will it please you then if I tell you that the deputy sanitation commissioner told you that she's cleaning toilets?
Is that happening? Really?
Well, they said if they're dirty, she'll clean them.
Now, please tell me that video or at least still photography of Naomi Campbell having to clean out a toilet is going to be released. That's what we, the people, need to see.
I'm sure that there's some employee in that building, even though they've been told not to, who has a camera in the cell phone and will be snapping a photograph if that happens, and I'm sure we'll all see it when that does happen.
Excellent. God bless you. All right. Well, be sure to let us know if anything else takes place, or if she, if anything else that is embarrassing or horrific happens to her, because those are the things that people care about in this crazy metropolis of ours, Steve.
I am on the Naomi Campbell Sanitation Fashion Watch for the week. You've got it.
God bless you. All right. Thank you, sir. Steve Kastenbaum in New York City. Excellent. Fantastic. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, I thought when you moved into your new studio, you'd be able to punch up Scotty to speak live on the air. Whatever happened to that option?
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't. That hasn't come together, but it's okay.
I miss Scotty. We haven't had him in here for a while.
It hasn't really been a huge priority. I would be lying if I said otherwise.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except
you're not going to amount to that, Scott.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show our intrepid PA, Scotty J. Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Doing great, Rick.
Are you really?
Are you hungover today?
No.
Are you hungover today?
No, I'm feeling great. Honest.
You sound like you're overcompensating for something.
I think so, too.
No, I've learned how to work in this industry. Just going to let on to whatever.
Show no weakness. You become a functional addict. A couple of things. A, were you ever able to find that David Cassidy stuff from Donna Mike?
I was working on the wrong hour, so I'm looking at another hour. I got to listen to a lot of audio to get to stuff.
All right. Apparently, people were long-time listeners to the Rick Emerson Show know that we at one point attempted to get David Cassidy on the show.
Which is where your Cuddy Sounder comes
from. And I'm telling you, it would have been a brilliant interview. It would have been smooth. It would have been...
If only you'd given him Pacific time, not Eastern.
We would have got to the meat of the subject, and it would have been great.
Water under the bridge. Apparently, he was on Donna Mike last Wednesday, though, and was just an ass. And I haven't heard it. I don't know how it went. But apparently, he was just an a-hole, like beyond all belief.
Well, maybe they were, heckling him or doing something to kind of coerce him into that.
Yeah, because I heard him on Stephanie Miller, but he was kind of flirting with
coerce.
Him. Coerce him?
Yeah, to coerce him into...
Please spell coerce for me.
No.
No, seriously.
Nope.
How do you spell it?
Nope. Not playing that game.
It's not a game, Scotty. I'm just asking if you can spell coerce.
I'm not sure if I can, because I can use big words, and I sometimes put them in the right sentence, too, and up words, but spelling is not one of my best.
Give it a try.
Okay. C-O. I don't want to say H, right?
I'm not going to tell you. Finish spelling the word.
Oh, it could be C-O-R-E.
I'm just going to sit here. This is coerce by Scotty J.
I think it's C-O-R-H.
Sort of like a Ginsberg poem.
C-O-R-H-E-R-S-E.
That's coerce.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Okay.
Would you like to try again?
No, that's it.
All right. Hey, how's that power word book of yours going?
I wouldn't know. I haven't seen it since the day
I
bought it.
Thank you. You left it behind. It was very clearly very important to you. Your 100 words to make you sound smart. All right. Before we finish this up, you, real quickly, two things. One, let's see. We have an email here from somebody who said, let's see, where did this go? Somebody had a question for you. I don't know where it went. Well, I had it and I lost it.
Well, in the meantime, I just got a call from a guy that said that at his work, there's different people. There are people from the Orient, people from Mexico, people from America.
And
they used to listen to the Rick Emerson Show faithfully.
Uh-huh.
Well, suddenly one day his boss or something, or because... the groups of workers couldn't decide on what show or what station to listen to, just said no more radio whatsoever. So the Rick Emerson Show is not played there any longer. However, the boss is still listening to it in
really?
The room. In
his... Well, so it's a business
that's
in Portland?
Terrible.
Yeah, in Portland. They were faithful Emerson listeners.
Now, how do you know this? Well, because a worker told you this?
A guy just called me, yeah.
But the boss took away the radio altogether, except that he still listens.
To the Emerson Show.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, sir. Well, hopefully he'll let it. Hopefully he'll let the workers wet their beaks at some point.
And you know who I'm talking about.
I don't. Stop that. It's, all right.
You're saying wet your beak too much. It grosses me out.
It's from, I don't even remember where that's from. It's not from The Godfather.
I know, but I've heard of Futurama a lot.
Let Bender wet his beak. But I can't remember where it's from. It's from some gangster film, and I don't think it's Goodfellas either. Let blah 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 wet your beak. Where the hell is that from? Somebody will tell me. I can't find the email, but somebody wants to know, Scotty, if you are preemptively in favor of the war in Iran.
No.
They want to know if you plan on being in favor of the war in Iran, which is clearly coming.
Well, first of all, a lot of people think I'm some kind of war mongreler who just loves war and loves death and loves all that.
They believe that you are a what?
Killing and all that, yeah.
They believe a what?
A war mongrel.
What? Please to be telling
oh
me.
Oh, my God. I don't want to spell and explain. If the word doesn't fit the sentence, then insert other word here. I don't care.
What is a war?
We're talking about war. Mongrel, a guy who is all for it. That's my opinion. That's how I was using that.
A mongreler.
Okay, a mongloid. I don't know.
Well, You may have hit upon something there with that final one. The, how do you spell mongreler?
Why do you insist on making this a spelling bee? It's obvious it's I don't only, know how to spell.
It's only a spelling bee for some of us.
It's a spelling bee.
It's like I used to know a guy with...
Stop making him spell things.
I'm tired of spelling. I told you day number one, I can't spell. Do not make me spell in the air.
You know, it's like opening a soda. Opening a soda is not a contest for some people. My friend Sean has no thumbs. That's a contest for him.
So what? Play the little thumb game?
Mongreler. Oh. They used to be spelling mongreler.
First of all, I don't even know if that's a word.
Well, then I guess you can spell it any way you want. So you don't wish to be thought of as, quote, a war mongreler. And yet what?
Is it war mongrel? Is that the correct way of using it? Let's hear about it.
Do you think that's the correct way of using
it? Yes,
how sure are you?
I'm positive.
Let me ask you this. Hold on. Let's calm down. On a scale of 1 to 10... how sure are you that the correct phrase is warm mongrel?
11.
Really? Are you just whining screwing with me?
No, I'm correct.
Yes, totally wrong.
Oh, you're kidding me.
What do you think a mongrel really is?
Well, it is an animal of some sort, right?
Then why would you say that you're a war... That doesn't even make any sense.
Am I the only guy on planet Earth that has ever heard this phrase, a mongrel, to something like a war mongrel? It means you're a guy who just, like, loves it, you know, climbs all over it, lives it. Believes in it. A mongrel. You've never heard that term.
Use it in another sentence. Maybe I'm just not hearing it.
I've heard a war Mongolian.
That's a grill.
Come on, that's a war Mongolian.
A mongrel is like...
You pay one price, eat all day.
What is this called, the mongrel?
well done. Pleased to be using it in another sentence. Mongrel.
Having passion for something.
No, but right? I'm going to use it in a sentence.
The only sentence I've ever used it in is war mongrel.
Really? Okay, but now I'm asking you to use it in another sentence.
Okay, now I'm trying to think of a sentence.
Quit throwing your book around.
The book.
He was like throwing the book. It was making
okay, how about
sense.
How about a peace mongrel?
Okay, but do you understand what use it in a sentence means?
Yeah.
Okay, so the mongrel, pleased to be...
The guy stood out on the corner in downtown Portland, and he was a complete and utter peace mongrel. Utter.
Mongrel.
What is it?
Okay. I do not think that word means what you think it means.
Oh, look at the phones. They just lit.
Yeah, people love you. We haven't done an installment of the Scotty J show in a while. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. All right, so leaving aside for the moment your more, quote, mongrelism.
What do I think about Iran?
Are you in favor of a war in Iran?
Well, going back to my first thing, I'm not real big on the war itself in Iraq. However, I believe that these...
You are big on the war in Iraq.
Yes, where's the...
Don't be
from?
A pussy.
No, what I'm trying to tell you...
Be a man.
I'm trying to explain is I want those people to have the same type of freedoms as us, to be able to go to 7-Eleven or the Golden Arches in their country, just like us. Now, if they don't want 7-Eleven or Golden Arches, call it something else and serves, you know...
They have the Golden Arches in China.
Right. And someday, they'll have a Big Mac in Iraq attack. It'll be great.
Stop that now.
All right. Only I think that's funny.
So, Iran.
Iran. I hope we don't have to go to war with them.
Why would we have to go to war in Iran?
They keep letting people into Iraq.
Iran keeps letting people into Iraq.
Letting people that are terrorists and whatnot. And they're not abiding by the rules of the nuclear arms treaty.
You know, here's
what you're
doing.
I don't know everything.
You know what you're doing? This is sort of like when the people... this is sort of... I don't even know what it's like. This is like when you're out of arrows, and so you just begin looking around your hut and throwing everything you can find at the invaders. That's, I asked you that question, and you were sort of like, Iran, terrorists, Iraq... And then you said...
Nukes.
Violating the nuclear treaty. Who's violating what nuclear treaty?
They're not a part of it. That's the thing.
Who?
Iran. They're not a part of the nuclear arms treaty. There's one
that they're violating.
There's one across the entire country, entire world right now, and I believe India is not part of it. A couple other places, like probably North Korea, they haven't jumped on the ship yet.
They haven't jumped on the ship. What is this ship?
Ship of no nuclear arms.
All right, let's just take a few of these. I honestly don't know what these people are calling about. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, this is Chuck.
Hi, Chuck, how can I help?
Hey, I've been dying to ask you that book that Scotty's got. Does it say how to sound intelligent even if you isn't?
No, it does not, sir.
And, Scotty, have you heard the term fish mongrel?
Fish mongrel?
Yeah.
Well, that's an excellent...
I'm just trying to help. And, Rick, I love how you never, ever clue him in. It's just a learning experience, really. Every now and then, give him one.
I know.
So there's a little improvement.
I find that it's best if people pull themselves up by their own bootstraps.
It ain't working. I don't think he's got boots.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay,
thank
that's
you.
Funny. There you go. That was a shock. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
This is Jesse in Vancouver.
Hi, how can I help you?
Hey, I think I have one of the best ideas for another Herbert's perspective.
Okay.
You should put him on with Stephanie Miller.
Just, can you... I don't even know whose head would explode. I mean...
Oh, no, come on. That would be Gene. Can you imagine Stephanie Miller just getting a hold of Scotty J and just going, wait, pause, let me clue you in on everything.
What if she found him unspeakably attractive? What if she found him...
Which a lot of women do, but I can't stand her. That's the problem.
Yeah,
that's exactly why I'm saying it would be great.
She has that certain something, Scotty. I know that you would find her alluring. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
There you go. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you?
Hey, what's up? This is Tony.
Hey.
To Wet Your Beak. It's Godfather 2, man.
Godfather 2. That's right. I kept wanting to say that it was from Donnie Brasco, but from Carlito's Way. Because I was thinking Pacino.
Yeah, the black hand.
Right.
The guy in the white hat. He kept saying he wet his beak.
That's right. Okay. Excellent. Thank you for solving that, sir. I was it was puzzling me. I couldn't quite figure it out. Thank you.
No problem.
Right, there you go. Do a couple more here, and then we'll take a break. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello there. Why? Hello there. All right.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
I think somebody needs to explain to Scotty J that when you're leaving a country, you're not obligated to show proof of citizenship or intent. Like when we leave America to go to Canada. So Iran isn't letting anybody go into Iraq.
You want to bet?
I'll bet.
What the hell is that? I'll get your ass.
$1. No, I believe now, and correct me if I'm wrong, really.
Uh-huh.
That there's this new deal where we got to have passports to go anywhere, okay?
Yeah, we have to have passports to get back in. Crossing over the border, Canada checks your passport. America doesn't have a station set up to check your passport to leave our country. But we do have to have a passport to go anywhere to come back to our country.
Why would our country check our own passport to leave?
That's what he's saying. So Iran isn't really letting anybody go anywhere.
No, because you don't
have to ask to go.
You can just cross the border. It's Iraq's responsibility to check to see who's coming into this country.
I wish you could see the expression on Scotty's face.
Is he scratching like a monkey would? Or?
Here's the deal. All right.
What is the deal?
Iran is aware of these terrorists that are in their country right now, and they're harboring them, and they are running into Iraq. We can't stand with our hands, you know, together one by one, and make a wall around the entire Iraq and check each and every individual
around
that comes in there.
The entire Iraq.
How about Saudi Arabia? That is actually where the hijackers came from. 17 of them from Saudi Arabia.
Okay. Do you believe
same with Syria? Same with Iran? Them?
What do you mean, same with Syria?
Same with Iran.
17 of them can't be from Syria and Saudi Arabia.
No,
that's mathematically impossible.
What I'm saying is maybe 17 came from Saudi Arabia, but the rest are coming from other countries as well.
The rest being two.
Yeah, thanks. Two terrorists came in the country.
All right. Let's do a couple more, and then we'll break. And then we'll talk to Susan Reynolds in the next half hour as well. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, this is Tom.
Hey.
I'm actually here to support Scotty J. I think he's just quoting Shakespeare. What is it? Cry havoc and release the mongrels of war, right?
Yes. Thank you, sir. All right. Let's see here. Two more. Hi.
That's
one.
I love her. She's my favorite.
You know, she has such a pleasing voice.
She does.
Rick Emerson Show. Hello there.
Since Peter Smith.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
Yeah, can I tell him, please? It's fishmonger, warmonger, and it's not mongrel.
Yeah.
Well, it's driving me crazy.
There we go. See? I knew there was a word.
No,
like that.
It's monger, not
right,
mongrel.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
And also, Wet Your Beak came from Godfather 1, too.
I don't think where.
Remember where they were all sitting around the table and they were trying to make peace and...
When they're talking, when the five families are meeting, they're talking about where they're going to sell
wet our beaks with the politicians and stuff like that.
Ah. Does he say wet our beaks, really?
Yes, he says wet our beaks. Yes, he does.
Because they're having that whole speech where they're talking about where they sell drugs and where they don't, and how Corleone controls the politicians.
That's right. And then they're talking about you must let us wet our beaks with the politicians and get in with the deal and stuff like that. Yes, wet our beaks comes from Godfather 1.
Now, see, I'm going to have to go home and watch it now. All right. Well, anyways.
And one last thing.
Yeah.
We have to set up a game of are you as smart as a fifth grader with Scotty and a fifth grader.
Really? Do you think that's aiming a bit high?
I already lost a spelling thing to a third grader or a fifth grader.
It's true. All right.
I just want to see some fifth grader scratch their head and go, God, what did they teach in school 20 years ago?
All right. Have you ever watched that show? Thank you, sir.
No.
There you go. God bless you. Thank you. Has anybody here watched that show?
I have.
Are you as smart as a fifth grader?
No.
I watched it once, and it hurt my soul to watch it because it's hosted by Jeff Foxworthy. But I was intrigued by the concept. Do you know the concept is, it is like a Jeopardy show, but they pit an adult against a fifth grader.
Well, in fifth grade's when you're learning a lot about social studies and stuff, so I would probably lose.
The fifth graders schooled these guys. I mean, the fifth graders just schooled these adults. They asked these adults stuff that, like, you really ought to know, and the fifth graders just worked them. Just beat them senseless. It was really satisfying to watch. All right, it's 503-733-370. All right, we got to take a break here in a second. We'll come back. Jim Roop, Scotty, just to wrap up, mongrel means what?
Like a fish.
Okay, sure. Back after this is the Rick Emerson. Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. You stay there. Rick Emerson Show, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, you need to be selling Scotty J merchandise. I'd buy a Nuke the Whatnots sticker right now. Time to cash in. All right. It's 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming on. We'll talk to Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, in just a moment. We'll welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, Susan Reynolds, CBS Radio Portland marketing guru from Los Angeles. Let's welcome CNN Radio correspondent James Roop. What's up, brother man? How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm okay. You doing? You got the black death over there?
No. I'm just eating a Girl Scout.
Okay. Sorry. Glad you finished that sentence.
Finishing up the cookie.
What kind of a Girl Scout cookie?
A Thin Mint.
Thin Mints are fantastic.
They're my favorites.
Thin Mints are fantastic. And here's
there was a bunch of them outside the store down here by the courthouse. So for some reason, they're not at school today. So
here's the thing. And I know that we have this conversation every year on the Rick Emerson Show. And it's one of those things. We have this conversation every year. Every year, I swear to Christ, I'm going to tattoo the answer on my hand so that we don't have to talk about it again next year. And then every year, I forget to do that. Blah, 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 blah. Here we are. Let's finish this once and for all, Jim Roop. Are caramel delights the same things as Samoas?
No.
What's the difference?
The coconut.
No. Caramel delights have coconut.
They do?
They do. Now, I'm wondering,
I don't know.
See, that's what I'm saying. And is it a regional thing?
It might be.
Are Samoas in one place? Because growing up, I'd never heard of Samoas. I only knew of Caramel Delights. Then I moved to Utah. It's all Samoas. No one's ever heard of Caramel Delights.
See, maybe it's West. They're called Samoas because of the Hawaiian influence.
Maybe. The whole thing just infuriates me.
But what possible delight is there east of the Mississippi?
That really is true.
Yeah.
It's just a whole lot of agita. That's what those cookies are called. Those cookies are just called agitas. It's called agitas and, whatever.
They're expensive, though. It's $4 a box.
Man, so it's for a good cause, though, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
Or whatever. Oh. I don't even really know what it... You know, now that I think about it, what does that money even... What does it even buy?
It buys badges and crap like that, I think.
All right.
That's how they fund the program. They don't give it to the poor.
Well, of course not. Why would you do that? This is America.
Let's sell cookies and give the money to the homeless. Give the cookies to the homeless.
Let the homeless sell their own food.
Yeah, give it. Eat your man to fish.
This one's just called a hint of dirt. What is it? How do Boy Scouts make money? They don't sell cookies.
Well, no, I am a scoutmaster, as you know, for a Troop 209 in Burbank, California.
I didn't know that. Now, how do they don't sell cookies? How is it that they stay financially flush?
We dues.
You dues what? I'm sorry.
We dues whatever we can to make it all prudent.
I was totally going to go that way. Do you stay financially stable? We dues indeed, Rick.
It's dues and membership fees. You pay, you re-up every year for $50, then you pay for each individual trek you go on.
All right.
You know.
I think we peaked about 20 seconds ago, but that's okay.
We choose. That's funny.
All right. Well, in any event.
I'm an Eagle Scout, you know.
Uh-huh.
I am.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's right.
I am not. I was a Cub Scout for like a year, and then I was like, you know, I've made my last lanyard. I'm out of here.
Well, I like Boy Scouts because, you know, bottom line, guys have to grow up to be men.
Yes.
Well, I like to teach them and tell them they can carry knives and drive their parents nuts.
Totally. That's, you know, the thing is, you know, and the Boy Scouts, they, you know, we can leave aside the issue for a moment of if they're exclusionary and so forth. But I do agree that you know, guys getting together in whatever organization and just being given knives and shovels and, like, you know, being able to go out and, like, cut things down. And
set fire to this, cut that.
Totally. It's what,
you know, dig this.
It's what being a man is all about.
You know, get your hands dirty, damn it.
All right. Hey, let's talk about Phil Spector. he showed up with some weird pudding basin haircut today.
Pretty interesting guy.
The hell is that about? Now, do we know then if the hair was fake all this time?
It had to be.
My guy's just cracked.
No, in fact, I asked that question when you remember I told you I was going to yank on it?
Yes.
I did ask that question to one of those big bodyguards that he has with him.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, apparently those things are wigs.
Yeah, well...
But he said it's not the same one he was wearing the other day.
He's got a whole variety of crazy wigs. Maybe he's got like a rainbow clown wig, you know, at some point he's going to be wearing, and one that's just a big mohawk.
He holds up a sign of John 3:14 on it.
Seriously. You know that guy's dead?
Is he really?
He's dead. He's dead, and I think he was a felon. The John 3:16 guy that used to be in the end zone.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure that I might be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure that it all ended badly, that he, like, shot a guy in the face, and now he's dead.
Really? He didn't pay attention to the passage, did he?
No, clearly. I mean, that really is a doctor.
God so loved the world.
But first, yeah, that's a physician heal thyself kind of a thing. All right. Well, in any event, so this is just now getting underway. So this is, we're going to be able to make fun of Phil Spector for months to come.
Yeah, well, it's going to take a whole month before we get to the trial. These questionnaires that the judge is funny today, because the judge tells he called 75 people in today, and he said, look, he said, all that stuff that you see on crime television about jurors being in danger and jurors helping solve cases, that's Hollywood. He said, we don't even want to know who you are.
Yes.
You know, for your own privacy, it has nothing to do with your own safety, it's for your own privacy. Then he references the metal detectors in the lobby saying, they were not there just for the Spector trial. Because let's face it, man, Spector's known to be kind of nutty.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
totally.
They don't want him coming to court waving a gun, start firing off, picking off jurors.
Oh, no, we want that, though. I'm rooting for that myself.
Well, I'd love for him to fly off the handle at some point.
And just,
you know, I would really love for him to object! I object!
And just to stand on a table and just pull down his pants. Oh, you should try to get him to do that.
Hey, his wife's pretty cute.
Well,
speaking of pulling off his pants, his wife's pretty cute. I was surprised at that yesterday. When I didn't know who she was yesterday until when I got home yesterday. I understand he's his wife. She's his wife.
I suppose the fact that she's not dead or bleeding from the head in some way probably adds to that.
A new wife, apparently.
Yeah. Well, he had to replace the last woman.
Yeah.
All right. I love this show. All right.
I love you, man. I swear.
Let's all hug. All right. Jim, enjoy the rest of your day, brother.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Fantastic. Good times. All right. We'll go to the Ministry of Truth here in a moment. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN Radio Portland marketing guru, Susan Reynolds. Why, hello there.
CNN Radio. I don't know, but I thought I got a new job all of a sudden.
Came from the CNN. I'm sorry. That's my fault for, as they say,
a little cookie.
Conflating. I'm waiting for the caffeine to kick in. I'm sorry. CBS Radio Portland marketing guru Susan Reynolds.
Hi. Thank you. Hi.
So we were going to have you on anyway because you were at the Al Capone's vault thing.
I was.
And then you sent me this great email about Scotty.
Oh, it was driving me crazy. I was sitting in my office listening. It was making me nuts.
I don't even... I don't even know which way to go first. Well, let's talk about the Al Capone's vault thing,
okay.
Because that guy, for no readily apparent reason, started the show with that. Now, you were in Chicago. Were you working for WLS?
Yeah, and I mean, that's where I'm from. Born and raised, and
right.
Spent many, many years there. And the station I was at, WLS, huge station, and we were always at everything. Whenever there was something happening, we were there. I was an extra in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Really?
Yeah, we had our station down there. The parade scene, which there were.
Are you visible?
Not to the naked eye.
The Rick Emerson Show, many of the staff here have credits such as that.
Yes, well, that was my big claim to fame. But the Al Capone Vault, so Geraldo was going down there. It was a big deal. People in Chicago are very fascinated by all things gangster related.
Yeah,
you know, I
absolutely.
Mean, there's so many things, rich history and all. And so we decided, well, we got to go down there and see what's what. And it was nighttime, and I'm trying to remember what job I had at the time. I think I was like a Scotty J. I was kind of a producer.
I don't think you were ever like a Scotty J.
Oh, right. Well, I could always spell. That was one good difference. And anyway, so we went down there, and there were tons of people, and we were sort of covering it live, you know.
Right.
And what a bust.
You were then, now how close were you to the actual vault itself when Geraldo opened it?
Well, let's put it this way. I saw and heard the explosion.
Really?
Yeah. And,
were you guys just thinking there would be something exciting in there?
Well,
or something?
Well, you know, he got everybody all worked up over it. So we all thought there was something in there. And it turned out there was a couple of empty gin bottles or something, right?
Oh,
and a stop sign or some silly thing. And that was it. And he came out. He was very embarrassed, you could tell.
Oh, yeah.
And there were a lot of, you know, official-type people standing around, and then the scene dispersed quickly.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. That was that say that success has a thousand fathers and failures an orphan?
Oh. I mean, it was, you know, I felt kind of bad for him, although, you know, he was the butt of a million jokes.
He rebounded, though.
Yeah, you can't really, you know.
You can't keep him down. He's like a cockroach. You can't keep a roll.
He's like
down.
One of those clowns that you hit and it falls and it bounces right back.
I really do admire him, and I've really started. The number of times they have written that guy's career obituary, that he just comes back over and over again. I really do admire Geraldo. He really has longevity, and you can't keep him down, and he's shameless.
And he's been married like 5 times, and he always has a hot chick. And,
totally.
You know,
and it's like he's rich and he's famous, and he has some of the hot. I think he holds 3 different records for television's ratings bonanzas. The Al Capone thing.
That was definitely one of them.
An NBC primetime special on Satanism that he hosted in, I think, 1989, because that was his bailiwick after Al Capone was to do these big exposés.
Right.
That, and then there was a third one. I forget what the third one was, but he holds at least 2 ratings records.
Well, and there was, well, I remember the one on his talk show where he just, you know, got beamed in
the chair.
His nose broken. And then there was the thing where he drew the line in the sand. Wasn't he showing
Here's where my troops are. I'm right here.
So he's sort of notorious and, you know, and kind of great all rolled into one.
You, speaking of notorious and great rolled into one, Scotty J was here earlier talking about warmongerism.
I'm wondering who's helping his kids with their homework.
I think we know the answer.
Okay.
His type's not I on the screen.
Yeah.
So he was attempting to spell something or other. And there's this program that did. He's the Jeff Foxworthy. Smarter than a fifth grader? And no one is. I'm not smarter than the fifth graders. And I'm a pretty sharp guy, but they were schooling me on that show.
Well, the other thing is, those fifth graders are learning that stuff right now. We learned it 100 years ago. We can't remember.
And then you're embarrassed because you're watching something with Jeff Foxworthy. So there's that.
Yeah.
You have, though, not a fifth grader.
I have a fourth grader.
Can we say her name?
Lucy.
She is a fourth grader. Now, is she something of a speller?
She is something of a speller, and the school has invited her to participate in the upcoming spelling bee. And as I was listening to poor, pathetic Scotty J. Sorry, Scotty.
Oh,
but
below the belt.
Okay, sorry.
I didn't say that.
And he was saying, don't ask me to spell. And I was thinking, gosh, I bet Lucy could spell that. And then it occurred to me. You know.
Now, is she able to? Now, doesn't she have school, though? She wouldn't be able to come in, unfortunately.
Actually, this week they have a couple days off because of grading day.
Well, by God, that works out splendidly.
So convenient.
What days does she have off, do you know?
Well, I believe Thursday would be, I have to clear this with her because, you know, she is a little shy.
Oh, that's okay. She'll do fine.
And
now, would she be okay? She'd be on the radio before?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, there's you know.
I have a couple days to get her, you know, in the right frame of mind.
Okay, Scotty will be drunk anyway, so I mean, doesn't matter. All right. Well,
we can do all the shows we wanted to do. Scotty J spelling test and him getting drunk on the air.
Totally. That's the thing we've been trying to get Scotty. Hey, can we do that? Can we do that thing? Don't the cops do that thing where they get somebody drunk on the air to test your reflexes and so forth?
I think yes, and I think you can do it if it's sort of news related, and this is a news program after all.
This is a news program. Giving a good word to the people.
Right. I mean, you can't do it just if you feel like sitting around drinking, but you could do it, you know, for news purposes.
Well, by God, that's what we're going to do. All right. Well, ask Lucy, see if your daughter would be willing to do that, and we promise to be nice to her anyway.
Yeah.
And so we can have the great Scotty J fourth grader face off. Be fantastic. It says genius. That's a 10 share right there. I can feel it. All right.
Well, you know, I'm supposed to come up with ideas now and then.
By God, you've earned your pay today, Susan Reynolds.
Thank you.
All right. I know you got to take off, but thank you so much for coming in.
It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure indeed. All right. Susan Reynolds, CBS Radio Portland, marketing guru. Thank you so much. All right. Let's do. Oh, we had a Girl Scout cookie. Tracy, hi.
Hey there.
Hello.
I'm a Girl Scout leader, and I'm telling you, Caramel Delights and Samoas are the exact same thing.
Exact same thing. Caramel Delights and Samoas.
They're just baked by different bakeries around the country. So just depending on what part of the country you live in and what bakery bakes your cookies, they call them different things.
It is a regional thing, as I suspect.
It is a regional thing. And I even have a box if you like them. I'd be happy to send you a box.
God bless you for the offer, but I'm just so fat already.
Or I can send my fifth grade daughter down. She sold over 500 boxes, and maybe she could school Scotty J and selling Girl Scout cookies.
I love the fact that not only is it fourth and fifth graders, it's fourth and fifth grade girls. It'd be twice the humiliation.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, honestly, the spelling, who cares whether you can spell or not? But just use the right darn word. My goodness.
That's the thing. I mean, it at least try to sound like you're using
it. At least try to sound like, what's mongrelism?
No one, I don't get him. No one knows. All right.
No one knows. Only him.
Thank you, Tracy.
Uh-huh.
All right, that's Tracy. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Woman is expected back to federal court tomorrow on involuntary manslaughter charges in Port Angeles, Washington. Sheila N. Kalama of Queets is accused of driving a small car off a dead-end road and plunging into a river. Two of the seven people in the car are dead. Court documents quote Aunt Kalama as saying she drank about 14 to 16 containers of Budweiser beer before getting behind the wheel of the Kia Sepia sedan. Witnesses told FBI agents that Kalama was text messaging on her cell phone while driving. The five who survived reportedly suffered only minor injuries. Meanwhile, you're probably wondering what Mark Wahlberg is up to these days. He's juggling roles off and on screen. The Oscar-nominated actor and father of two is learning to balance work and parenting while acting roles continue to come his way at an alarming pace.
I'm sensing a puff piece.
Wahlberg says there's no greater role than that of fatherhood.
Oh, it's the most important role I'll ever play.
Shut your mouth.
I had my fun, did what I had to do, hopefully made all the big mistakes already, get all that stuff out of the way.
Yeah, and, there'll be no more.
You know, I've always said, you know, I've got a couple more years of focusing on me, and then, you know, obviously all my attention needs to go to the most important thing, which is, you know, spending time with my children.
Listen, that makes sense with just a sigh of grim resignation, too.
That is one of the most self-involved people you've ever heard speak.
Oh, good God. And
he's just so unlikable. I mean, he's a good actor, but...
Well, that's the thing is that you can't hate him either because he's a great actor. He chooses good projects. And then you got to give respect to a guy who was written off as like a one-hit wonder Vanilla Ice joke of a rapper. And then now he's, he's world famous. But most importantly, he's reproduced himself like an amoeba. So that's the real accomplishment here.
Meanwhile, it's down to 10 this season on America's Next Top Model. Woo! On last week's episode, 24-year-old Cassandra was eliminated for not having enough potential. She's from Seattle, you know. She's a student. She says that in this case, she shouldn't have been on the show in the first place.
They picked the 13, so if I didn't have any potential, basically, they wouldn't have picked me. And Twiggy gave me a lot of good compliments, too. So it was like, with everything that happened that week and those different things, yeah, it was my time to go.
Oh, I was hoping to hear her cry.
She sounds like she might.
Maybe next time. Okay. There will be no next time for whoever that is.
Yes, Cassandra says she was exhausted while on the program.
I usually get 8 hours to 12 hours of sleep a day, and I didn't get my 8 hours.
You got a goddamn job.
So it was really difficult to kind of perform at your best ability when you don't have a lot of sleep.
Now, why don't you shut your head?
Well, she's probably getting into the wrong profession then.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, models get to sleep 12 hours a day.
Who gets to... no one gets to sleep 12 hours a day. I mean, so... No, I'm okay. Whatever sympathy I had for her. Is Twiggy a judge on the show?
Yes.
I've never watched the program.
Why are you asking Tim? You should ask me.
I assume everybody watches everything but me. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I assume this is another one of those, forgive me, American Idol type shows that everybody in the country watches but me.
No, it's ridiculously entertaining.
I know Laura watches it. Twiggy, how old is Twiggy now?
Like 70.
A million?
She probably looks like, I don't know, early 60s.
I mean, I was never really a fan of hers, but I mean, you know, for obvious reasons. But I just, I guess they're still around. I mean, what is...
And Tyra's looking... I have to say, she's looking a lot better.
Now that she's not 170 pounds. The thing about Twiggy is... I think about this... So I don't think about Twiggy a lot, because why would you? But, I mean, she can't possibly have made that much money as a model in the 60s. Twiggy, you wouldn't think. I mean, even though she was the world's biggest thing for a couple of years, especially in the 60s, where, like, athletes and musicians... I mean, the... athletes, musicians, and models, I mean, all of those, them having the superstar agents and making the millions of dollars, that didn't happen. That was a relatively recent development in show business, I think. That's why you always read those interviews with, like, all the Motown guys who had all these huge singles, but they're, like, they're working at, like, a Walmart somewhere. I can't imagine that Twiggy made a lot of money as a model, and where she hasn't done anything for 30 years. What do you do when you're Twiggy? I just wonder what...
I think she's some kind of consultant.
What would Twiggy possibly consult you on?
I don't know.
I mean, seriously. I mean, what possible life insights could Twiggy have? Be born very thin. All right, here's Tim.
Meanwhile, remember that star, Rainn Wilson, who's on the Office television program?
Is she the Pam?
No, Rainn is a male.
Oh.
Yeah, he's the bispectacle guy.
No.
Oh, is he that... What's his name, Dwight?
Yes. Remember the guy that was on Six Feet Under?
Yes. His name is Dwight.
Oh, yeah, he's the guy, he played, what's his name, on Six Feet Under, right? Okay, yeah.
Well, he's working on a new program, and he says he enjoys it immensely.
My son right now is like...
Oh, I know that guy.
41 years old, and success has come kind of late to me, and you got to strike when the iron's hot, and, you know, now's my time. There's a lot of opportunities presenting themselves to me because of the office, and I'm very thankful, and I need to be working right now.
I'm going
to
start having sex with whores.
Really be working nonstop.
He's working the new science fiction adventure called The Last Mirnzy.
The Last what?
Mirnzy. Mirnzy.
Okay.
Not that anyone would be interested.
Is he going to speak about the Mirnzy?
He would be if the right soundbite downloaded.
Okay.
But he might be back later.
Okay.
For an encore performance.
I feel bad that I don't watch The American Office because it is really funny. Every time I've seen it, I didn't hold out hope for it originally, but every time I've seen it recently, it's really, really funny. I just feel bad that I just don't have enough time to watch it. Lycus raves about it. It goes on and on and on. Again, my wife watches it. I feel bad. I guess it doesn't really need my support, though. It seems like it is doing pretty well. It doesn't look like it's going to get canceled anytime soon. Rick, next time there's a Pete Pro... Pete's Porridge Hot. Next time there is a peace protest, please be sending Scotty J and a remote to the protest. That's a great idea. Thank you. I don't want to see Scotty hurt, even though I feel like they're a rays of ignorance.
Even though.
I don't want to see him hurt, says this unconvincing email. Even though I feel like there are rays of ignorance beaming from my radio every time he speaks. But I think think of the comedic possibilities of Scotty asking hippies, quote, why they are peace mongrels, or why they are out mackereling peace in the streets. Also, the good listener party name might be Cornucopia of Pop Culture Mongrels. All right, well, there you go. Yeah, we got to name Listener Party 10 at some point. Probably won't do that today, so we get all this other crap to get through. But we got to do that at some point. We'll take a break here in a second, and we'll come back with more news. Let's get this one call. James?
One Twiggy has insight. She was on Blues Brothers. And
I remember that.
And she's been around. And two, whatever happened to the Funky Bunch, and who is the Funky Bunch?
That's true, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. The only member of the Funky Bunch that I even really, that it would attach to it, if any, was, I think, was Martha Wash. I'm pretty sure Martha Wash from the Weather Girls, of It's Raining Men fame and then later of CNC Music Factory. I'm pretty sure she was the one who sang the hook on Good Vibrations. As for the rest of them, I have no idea whatever happened to the rest of them. They're probably trying to find his phone number so they can ask him for a loan. Do you wonder about those guys, too? Those guys who were just sort of like...
Who were there, five guitarists and then two keyboardists? I mean, who were there?
Yeah, and it's like, and you know that they're probably just living in a cardboard box somewhere where Mark Wahlberg's living in the Hollywood Hills somewhere having sex on a pile of $100 bills. So, yeah, that's going to suck. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where the Funky Bunch went to. That's a good question. One that I don't know the answer to. Sorry for ending a sentence with a preposition like that. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Tim Riley around the corner. Dennis Pitzenbarger, top five. Like it's at three. Don't go anywhere. You know.